It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Jonah, we are continuing our series on the book of Jonah, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of Jonah, written by the prophet Jonah, approximately 793 BC to 753 BC. Jonah was a contemporary of Amos and Hosea, who preached in the same time period along with Jonah. Jonah, the word means dove, the symbol of peace, and how appropriate it is for his name to be Jonah, as his preaching brought peace from the Lord through the repentance of the empire of Assyria, as Jonah preached to the capital Nineveh to repent. And as they responded, they received the peace of God and a stay of execution from judgment. The book of Jonah is one of the books in the Bible under the most attack by the critics, because the book of Jonah speaks specifically to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the attacks of the critics on the book of Jonah tried to imply that Jonah is a fictional character, that the book of Jonah is a fable and should only be looked upon through symbology, through allegory, and not literally. However, Jesus Christ taught that Jonah was a real character. Jesus Christ authenticates that Jonah was a real individual. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, and Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 32, Jesus speaks of Jonah as a true historical figure. And he has historical significance as a prophet of the nation of Israel, and he is a real character with a real mission carried out from the Lord. The book of Jonah teaches salvation to the Gentile empire of Assyria, specifically the capital of Nineveh. Jonah is looked upon as one of the Old Testament missionaries to the Gentiles, as he preaches repentance to the empire of Assyria. The book of Jonah is approximately 100 or so years before the book of Nahum, and those two books should be studied together, as the Ninevites responded to the teaching of Jonah through repentance, yet 100 years later, there was judgment and destruction upon the empire of Assyria as they strayed away from the Lord. And Nahum, in his prophecy, laid out exactly how the judgment took place upon the empire of Assyria. One of the key themes of the book of Jonah is that God loves everyone so much that he sent Jonah to preach repentance to one of the cruelest empires in the history of mankind. And as the Lord has done this through Jonah, it shows he will go to any length to get the word of God out to all those that need to hear. There is opportunity for salvation, forgiveness, washing, and cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ and reconciliation back unto God. This is the teaching on the book of Jonah, chapter 1, part 2, verses 10 through 12. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Here in verse 10, we see that the mariners are astonished at Jonah, for they exclaim, Why hast thou done this? These individuals, even though they do not know the Lord personally, Jonah knows the Lord personally and walks with the Lord. These individuals who do not know God personally are still astonished and know that Jonah should not be running from the Lord, for these storms and the tempestuous sea that's around them is being caused by the rebellion of Jonah running from the Lord. And even these individuals who do not know the Lord personally can perceive that Jonah should not be running from the Lord. These individuals knew that Jonah was a Hebrew, and the God of the Hebrews is the creator of the sea and the land and the heavens. And Jonah, in his rebellion, is causing the sea to be tempestuous, as Jonah is outside the will of God. And just as these mariners were astonished at the actions of Jonah, proclaiming to know the Lord, yet running from the Lord, people today are astonished at Christians who proclaim they know the Lord and are yet not serving the Lord. Even today, there are individuals who are astonished at Christians, seeing Christians that are living outside of the bounds of marriage, participating in fornication, individuals as Christians who are smoking, drinking excessively, carousing, and doing things that Christians should not do. The world sits back and watches, and they see in astonishment that individuals that say they know the Lord are living a life that is contrary to someone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Individuals also sit back in astonishment, looking at individuals going through trials, tribulations, the storms of life, and living in rebellion, look back in astonishment, wondering how long will they continue to kick against the pricks, to swim upstream, to go against the tide, to live in rebellion, and have those storms of life continue to befall them. Verse number 11 proclaims a question asking, what shall they do? For these individuals know that Jonah is a Hebrew and serves the God of the Hebrews. And the God of the Hebrews created the sea, and the sea is tempestuous. Therefore, they deduce in their mind that Jonah may have the answer to still the storms from raging. Verse 12 gives the answer from Jonah as he proclaims himself as a sacrifice. Throw me over and the storm will stop. Here we see the first signs of guilt from Jonah as he looks at himself as the cause of the tempest, as the cause of the storm, and is willing to sacrifice himself to save the mariners. This individual, Jonah, is still in rebellion, although he is feeling the guilt of his actions, for he's willing to save the mariners from the storm by sacrificing himself, but he still refuses to go and preach to the Ninevites the original commission that God had told him to do. He cares for the mariners, but still does not care for the Ninevites. Verses 13 through 14. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." Here in verse 13, these individuals display that they cared more about Jonah than Jonah cared about them, for they refused at first to throw Jonah overboard and tried themselves to row themselves to the nearest land to have Jonah disembark from the ship and then steal the storm that way. Verse 13 also proclaims that they were futile in their efforts to row to land to disembark Jonah. This tells us that no matter what is going on in our life, in the storms of life, individuals must deal with the issue and not try to fix it themselves. Here, the only way to steal the storm is to cast Jonah overboard and not try and row themselves to land to disembark Jonah. Individuals today are trying to fix the storms of life themselves instead of dealing with the issue that's causing the storm. Individuals must repent from their sins in order to steal the storms of life rather than to try and fix the sin themselves by covering it up, by excusing it, by hiding it, by doing everything but repenting, by doing everything but admitting, confessing, and turning away from that sin. In order to steal the storms of life, the trials and tribulations caused by the sins of our decisions, individuals must repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Scripture teaches in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land." Verse 14 teaches that these mariners begin to cry out to God for forgiveness before they cast off Jonah, for they now know that Jonah is the cause, and they beg to God for forgiveness, knowing that they are justified in their decision to cast off Jonah at his request in order to save the lives of the mariners on that boat. Verses 15 through 16. "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." Here in verse 15, we see that when the issue is dealt with, the raging storm stops, as Jonah, the cause of the storm, through his rebellion, running from the Lord, was cast forth from the boat into the sea. The storm stopped from her raging. As soon as we deal with the issue of sin, as soon as we deal with the issue and the cause of the storms in our life, whether it be sexual, whether it be financial, whether it be family interventions, whether it be on our job, whatever the issue is, if we deal with the issue, then the storms of life will assuage themselves. Scripture teaches in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy." Verse number 16, the blessing and the result of the tough decision to deal with Jonah. The result is the fear of the Lord. Scripture teaches the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. These individuals realized that God is God. For we see in verse 16, capital L-O-R-D, twice in verse 16, they recognize God in a personal way. And verse 16 teaches that they made vows unto the Lord. Psalm 116 states, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." They renounced their pagan, polytheistic thinking and convictions. When the storm stopped, they knew that God was God. This is similar to Matthew chapter 8, verses 26 through 27, as Jesus stills the storm in the midst of the disciples. Verse 26 of Matthew 8 teaches, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Verse 27 states, "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Here, scripture is teaching that Jesus proves his deity again in the miracle of stilling the storms of life, of making them calm. And individuals in the day of Jonah, as the storm was stilled and quieted, they knew that God was God. Psalm 107, verse 29 states, "He maketh the storm a calm, and the waves thereof are still." Scripture teaches in Psalm 89, verse 9, "Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." And the Lord can do that for us today as we trust in him and commit our lives to him and repent from our sins. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The storms of life will begin to be stilled and begin to be quieted. Scripture teaches, "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me lay down in green pastures." Verse number 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Here in verse 17, there have been numerous books written to refute this particular miracle. Individuals often get caught up in trying to figure out the miracle of God rather than to accept it as a miracle of God. Jesus authenticates this particular miracle in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, which states, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So Jesus himself authenticates that Jonah experienced this miracle. Verse 17 also speaks of a great fish. There are instances in history to where individuals were swallowed up by whale sharks, great sperm whales, and other great fish, and lived to tell their story. Further, in the scriptures, God uses animals for miracles. He did this often. Noah, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 6 to 12, used a raven and a dove to see if the land was dry after the flood. God used lice and vermin and animals in the Egyptian plagues. God used a donkey to convict Balaam, the false prophet, in Numbers chapter 22, specifically speaking through the donkey. God used a raven to feed Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 3 through 4. In the book of Daniel chapter 6, God used lions as a miracle to show that God is the God of deliverance and the God of peace in the midst of the lion's den. This instance with Jonah and the great fish is just one of many where God uses animals in a supernatural way to show that these events are supernatural and they come from the Lord, and that these events could not have been done through man's intervention, but can only be done by the supernatural intervention of the Lord. This is the teaching on the book of Jonah, chapter 1, part 2. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, I invite you to bow your head and to close your eyes and to pray this prayer with me today. This prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your love and kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.